வாழ்க வையகம், வாழ்க வையகம், வாழ்க வளமுடன். பி பிளெஸ்ட் பை த டிவைன். தேங்க்யூ ஆல் ஃபார் ஜாயினிங் திஸ் வண்டர்ஃபுல் செஷன் திஸ் ஈவினிங். டுடே வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு கண்டினியூ அவர் கான்வர்சேஷன் தட் வீ பீன் ஹேவிங் ஃபார் த லாஸ்ட் ஃபியூ டைம்ஸ் இன் டு ஒன் ஆஃப் த மோஸ்ட் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் டாபிக்ஸ் தட் புட் டுகெதர் ஆல் ஆஃப் த கான்செப்ட்ஸ் தட் வீ ஹவ் சோ ஃபார் லேர்ன்ட் ஆன் தி டிரான்ஸ்ஃபர்மேஷன் ஆஃப் த டிவைன் ஸ்டேட் and the universal magnetism. Now we will take it further from these two important lessons and learn about cosmology. In this session, we are going to learn about theories regarding the origin of the universe, the stars, planets, their origins and functions, the Milky Way galaxy, consciousness in the inanimate objects, connection between the stars and the living beings. First, let us dwell a little bit on the theories regarding the origin of the universe. Let me give you a brief introduction for those who may already know and for those who do not know or do not remember these theories. We will take four of the most popular theories and then we will also dwell a little bit on Swamiji's proposed theory of the origin of the universe. The five theories, including Swamiji's, 1. The theory of creation. 2. The Big Bang theory. 3. The theory of Maya. 4. The theory of permanence. And 5. Swamiji's theory of evolution, which is the theory of transformation of the divine. First, the theory of creation. In this theory, it is believed that God created the universe. There are three questions that are unanswered in this theory. Why should God create the universe? Doesn't he have any other job to do? What is the purpose behind its creation? Question number two. Number three, what could God have used for creation? Let us even agree that God has created this universe and there is an unknown purpose which we are also ready to forget and forgive. But what could have been the basis, the origin, the whole elements that he has used, to what matter has he used to create everything that we see in the universe? There are no logical or scientific reasons given in this philosophy of God created the universe. So we cannot completely accept this blind theory that God created the universe for some purpose and we don't know why he created it, we don't know what he created with. It does not seem to gel well with the logical scientific minds that have evolved today in the modern world. Theory number two is the Big Bang theory. This believes or assumes that there has been a cosmic explosion. Again, there are unanswered questions. Where is the huge amount of helium in stars? If there has been a cosmic explosion, that is what created this entire universe, there must have been unbelievable amount of helium inside the stars. But there are no such unbelievable amount of helium inside the stars. Not even half of what the scientists believe should exist inside the stars does not exist inside the stars. Number two, why matter density is about 10 billion times larger than what it should have been had it been a Big Bang? No answers for this. Number three, why is the surface brightness constant in galaxies? That also is unexplained by the scientists who believe in this Big Bang theory. Number four, how did huge galaxies form out of the explosion? That also is not explained. And finally, they believe that everything came out of the dark matter. There is no evidence of dark matter that has been discovered yet in the science. All these loopholes make us believe that the Big Bang theory is a big imagination of some of the scientists, which is today become unfortunately quite popular. So the cosmic explosion is something that we cannot agree with. Theory of Maya, which is the third theory, believes that well, look, there is no universe, yeah. Actually, everything is maya. Everything is an illusion. Let us ask ourselves three questions and let us ask the proponents of this maya theory three important questions. One, doesn't this universe exist at all? Aren't there any galaxies? Aren't there any stars? Aren't there any planets? Aren't there this earth? Aren't there this life form that exists? Is the tangible world alone true? What you are able to perceive through your senses? Is that the only thing that is true? Are all things ephemeral? All things imaginary? All things are ethereal in nature, therefore we should not believe in. It seems to be another dimension similar to that of God created the universe theory. This also is something that we cannot readily, easily, logically accept and follow. The fourth theory is the theory of permanence, in which the proponents of this theory believe that the universe neither has a beginning nor an end. Again, there are questions that are unanswered by this theory. Doesn't divine state exist? Isn't there an energy particle? Don't energy particles exist? Are sensory perceptions alone true? That does not seem to be acceptable and believable or scientifically explainable. The theory of permanence, where the universe neither has a beginning nor an end, cannot be readily accepted by a scientific mind, a logical mind that wants to go deeper into the theory of creation. Therefore, Swamiji's theory of transformation, evolutionary theory propounded by our Guru Yogiraj Vedatri Maharishi, seems to be logical and something that we can perhaps validate to certain extent with what science already knows, and attempt to extrapolate the remaining things from the basis of science, basis of scientific facts. We will dwell a little bit more about this today. Swamiji summarizes his theory in a very simple poem. Becoming active, truth, the primordial state, transforms into the particles, which then associate to clash and unite, come together and separate, form the elements, matter in five states, the planets and stars, and all things that live, with sensory perceptions from single to five, as well as man, with his ability to know right from wrong, let happiness through service grow. Let us understand this poem line by line. Becoming active, truth, the primordial state, which is the origin, which is the origin of everything, which is the Shiva state, not the Sava state, but the Shiva state, which is the Vishnu state, the all-pervasive, penetrative, dark, fluid state, due to its self-compressive nature, creates a fold, which is again compressed further by the self-compressive force, starts to spin, which transforms into particles. These formative dust particles come together, but they don't merge. They then associate to clash and unite, come together and separate. They cannot be merging into a single entity. They are still separate. But they come together, they function together to form the Panchabhutas. These are the matter in five states. All the planets and stars and all things that live with sensory perceptions from single to five, as well as man with his sixth sense, with his ability to discriminate between right and wrong. All of these are transformations of the divine. Therefore, let us recognize that we are a transformation of the divine state itself. And with that awareness, let us allow happiness and goodness to develop in us, and we shall serve for removing the pain and misery of others, and through the service, let happiness grow. This, in short, is what Swamiji is teaching us in this philosophy of transformation of the divine as the origin of the universe. The universe, the stars, planets, and their origin and function. The divine state began to transform itself as it compressed itself, a subatomic paramanu, a formative dust, gets formed. This formative dust is further compressed and begins to spin at an extraordinary speed. There are many such formative dust particles that are originating in this universe from the primordial state, from the gravity, from the dark divine state, which then come together as the particles, the formative dust particles come together because of the surrounding pressure force bringing these energy particles together. The faster moving lighter particles become the satellite to the slower moving heavier particles, become the center. Faster moving lighter particles become the satellite. As they come together, an electron is formed. This is the subatomic energy particles. Now, these subatomic energy particle called electron, which gets formed first in the universe, the number of subatomic energy particles, number of formative dust particles inside that increase, and the speed of each of its revolution continue to increase. Again, the formative dust particles inside the electron cannot merge and unify into a single particle. It appears to be a single electron particle. But inside that, there are many such formative dust particles. Together, the divine state has transformed itself into a revolving, a self-revolving, potent electrical magnetic force. It is potent. It is not yet dynamic. But then, as the force increases its speed, the revolution increases, like how water overflows from a filled vessel, from a filled cup, this divine force begins to spill out. This increase of speed of the formative dust also forces the formative dust to be ejected out of the electron. So along with the divine flow, divine fluid that flows out, this subatomic energy particle called electron has ejected one formative dust, two formative dust, three formative dust. That it keeps ejecting. It came together to form the electron. But the so-called formative dust paramanu also gets ejected. As they get ejected more and more, they come out and they undergo a different transformation, which we will see in the next set of next few minutes, we will understand that. But as they come out, the speed of this electron slows down because the number of formative dust particles inside an electron is beginning to come down. The force, which is spinning at an extraordinary speed within an electron, is also slowing down because some of this has become divine fluid and it is coming out of this. So as the electron particle slows down, it becomes a proton. As the proton slows down, it becomes the neutron. Now as this electron, proton, neutron is also compressed by the surrounding pressure force, they come together once again in a slightly different composition, but in the same rule of larger, slower moving particle becomes the nucleus. So-called proton, neutron becomes the nucleus. Electron, which is the faster, lighter particle, becomes the satellite for this proton, neutron. And together, one electron, one proton forms the first gaseous element in the universe called hydrogen. And these hydrogens, elements, hydrogen atoms, now we have formed an atom. This is an Akash particle. Atom is an Akashic particle. Now these Akashic particles come together to form molecules such as oxygen. So more and more electrons, proton, neutron, hydrogen, helium, barium, beryllium, etc., 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 all the way you have the chemistry table, you have the periodic table, you can go through all of those elements that have been discovered by the scientists, get formed. Now, some of these elements again combine together. For example, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom come together to form water molecule. And then they further come together and condense together with many more such electrons and protons and neutrons coming together. They form the earth material, that is the mass. Now, as these mass gets formed in the universe, what really happens? The stars and the planets beginning to form in the form of Panchabhutas, as it is in the formative dust state and the divine state, the divine fluid state. These two together to form, come together in various composition to form Akash, the so-called atoms in the universe. And as these atoms come together, it forms hydrogen, helium, etc., various gaseous elements. As the oxygen molecule begins to combust, it begins to catch fire. And then this fire element is formed, or heavy air is formed. And then it cools down, further electrons and protons and neutrons come together, many other molecules come together to form water or water-like fluid states. And they further condense. Thousands of other electrons, protons, neutrons come together to form solids. And condensation takes place even further than that. Those Panchabhutas are formed. Likewise, atoms, as they get expelled from the composition of a particular element, come together in the universe in various compositions. And they start to form masses here and there. And these masses then combine together according to its collective repulsive force. Every formative dust has within itself a repulsive force. Because the divine state, due to its self-compressive nature, formed the formative dust, which is not stationary, which is spinning at an extraordinary speed. And because of this extraordinary speed of movement, of revolution within a subatomic energy particle of the formative dust, the subatomic energy particle itself begins to spin at an extraordinary speed. So electron is spinning, proton is spinning, neutron is spinning. And as they begin to spin, some of these formative dusts are expelled from these. And they again form atoms in various combinations in the universe. These shadow particles, along with the original formative dust, combine together to form various masses. These are the asteroids. And they also, sometimes these asteroids come together to form planets, where there is no possibility of the asteroids becoming planets. They, as they move towards a planet, some of these things come into the atmosphere of that particular planet and they burn. Most of them burn as they fall down. These are the meteors. Some of these asteroid particles combine together to form satellites or moons. For instance, the Earth has a moon. Jupiter has many moons. Saturn has a few moons. Mars has many, many moons, and so on and so forth. So these planets begin to have certain satellites around themselves. But the origin of all of this is that formative dust and the composition of Panchabhutas. What happens to the ejected energy particle, ejected formative dust from within an electron? They begin to come out of the electron as a overflowing magnetic fluid. These magnetic waves from the energy particles then create a ripple effect. As they come out, the surrounding pressure force once again begins to curve them. So it cannot move in a straight line. Nothing actually moves. It appears to move for us. A wave appears to move for us. But it is not really a wave. It is merely an agitation, merely a ripple effect that has started because of the expelled formative dust from an electron particle. It begins to lose its energy and its dissolution. In the process of its dissolution, an agitation, a ripple effect is caused in the adjacent formative dust particles. And it spreads, it begins to spread throughout the universe. It will reach the entire universe, the edge of the universe, if there is nothing obstructing that.
But as it goes and clashes with the asteroids, the meteors, the moons, the planets and the stars, etc., they begin to dissolve. And the dissolution stops or expels or expends or spends the energy that is now in the form of a transformed magnetic energy. It was potent when it was in a formative dust stage. Now it is dynamic. The dynamic energy gets converted into magnetic waves, overflown as a divine fluid from the formative dust itself, that is the Panchatanmatras. Now you can imagine the stars. The stars are such huge elements. Now these elements of various Panchabhuta components, mostly gaseous and fire elements, which are sitting there inside that. There are not much of a solid material, not much of a water molecule inside a star. It is a huge fireball mostly. Like our sun. Our sun is an example of it. Now the planets are also everywhere. Stars are also everywhere. There are millions and billions of stars that get formed in the universe. These stars are a combination, a conglomeration, a grouping of enormous amount of formative dust particles and therefore a group of enormous amount of electrons, protons, neutrons. Billions and billions of such energy particles come together to form a star. Due to its mutual repulsive force, these stars then will have a mutually repelling force that keeps other stars at a distance. This is why you will find that our star, our particular planet, is revolving around a star called as the Sun. Sun is a baby star in the Milky Way galaxy. Likewise, there are thousands of stars that we see on the sky. Every star, any blinking light spot in the sky that you see, is essentially a star only. Non-blinking ones are planets. Right now, for instance, it's around 8:30 or so. If you go out and look up, right on top, you will see a couple of planets. You will see Jupiter, you will see Saturn today in the bright sky. If you have a bright sky, that is. I don't know if you can actually see the sky in a bright city like Bangalore or Delhi. But then if you are able to see it, you will actually see Saturn and Jupiter right on top at this point of time. Early morning, you will find Mercury, you will find Venus at the twilight hours near the horizon where the sun is going to or about to come up. You will find that these non-blinking bright spots are the planets. Forget that. Those are just a few in number. The blinking ones are all stars. These are at billions of light years away. So the light that has emanated from that has taken many, many years to reach us. So actually what you are seeing is a phenomenon that are several years old. In fact, the light that comes to us from the sun is about 8 minutes old or so, if I'm not wrong. So it's a slightly older one. It has taken so, because it is at a distance of 9 crore miles away from our Earth. Likewise, the stars, due to its repulsive forces, which are mutually repulsive, they keep themselves at a distance. Likewise, our sun, due to its revolution, it has created a repulsive force. It has created a magnetic fluid field. Any repulsive force is nothing else but a magnetic repulsion only. It is a pushing force due to the overflowing magnetic fluid due to the formative dust revolution. As it begins to spin, you will have this divine fluid coming out of the formative dust, and that acts as a pushing force. And this pushing force combined together, all of the pushing forces within a star pushes the other elements away, whether it is meteors or asteroids or moons or planets, it keeps them at a distance. Now these planets and the stars, all of these elements are also spinning within around themselves. For instance, Earth, if you see, it's a 25,000 miles in circumference. It is spinning at a speed of about 1,000 miles an hour. Now, if you see, Sun itself is spinning at around, it's about 19 lakh times larger than our planet Earth, in terms of size, it is spinning at about 25 Earth days once. You can imagine the speed with which the sun is revolving. Because of these revolutions, the planets are kept at a distance, and because these are slower moving and it is lighter in nature, it begins to spin around the faster, heavier element of sun, element star called sun. It is beginning to spin. And why are they in spherical in orbits? Because they are not in circular orbits. All these planets are revolving around the sun in a spherical orbit. Why? Simple reason. Number one, there is a repulsive force from the sun that is pushing the planets away. There is a force between the planets that push each other away. There is a force from the planet that is pushing the sun away, even in very minute, in polar form. These, for instance, moon is pushing the earth away, and earth is pushing the moon away. But there is a repulsive force and a gravitational pull from these forces combined together to create a spherical orbit for all these planets around the sun. If you take the Milky Way galaxy, the eternal space, due to its self-compressive nature, formed the formative dust. The formative dust, as it began to come together, formed the subatomic energy particles. The subatomic energy particles, as they began to slow down, electron became proton, proton became neutron, and they became an atom, Akash. These Akashic particles further combine together to form the Panchabhutas, or the elements. And the Panchabhutas have come together to form masses. There is a central star, which is the starting of those masses. And from there, as the energy particles, the formative dust particles, are ejected out from these, they combine together in various composition around the universe, around the big star, to form a galaxy. They come together to form planets, asteroids, moons and stars, once again, around the big central star. And mutually repelling forces begin to keep these elements at a distance, and they form a huge galaxy. Again, the galaxy is spinning. Remember that the galaxy is spinning. Earth is spinning, moon is spinning, sun is spinning, and the galaxy is also spinning. If you look at the Milky Way galaxy, millions of stars, like our sun, form this galaxy. One star is a sun. Each star is a sun. In fact, the stars that you are able to observe with your naked eye on top of your house in the sky above your head is mostly stars from within the Milky Way galaxy only. We are unable to observe with our naked eye stars from the nearby galaxies like Andromeda galaxy. We are able to see only our stars to mostly some of these nearby stars. We are able to see Alpha Centauri, for instance. We are able to see there's an Alpha Centauri A, Alpha Centauri B, which is what the people in India began to call it as the Ashwini twin stars. These we are able to see. It's a dot. It's a very small dot. But that's nearest star is 4.35 light years away from our Earth. What do you mean by a light year? One light year is approximate. It is not time. When you say light year, doesn't mean it is time. Many people get confused. It is distance. 9.46 trillion kilometers light must travel for you to count one light year. Approximately 300,000 kilometers per second. Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. It is spinning around the sun at about 75,000 miles per hour. But light can travel 300,000 kilometers per second. Imagine the speed of the ripple effect that is caused. Light itself, according to Swamiji, is a mere transformation of the divine state into magnetism and magnetic transformation into light. But this is happening such extraordinary ripple effect speed that a light that began at about 4.35 light years away from our Earth in a nearby star called as Alpha Centauri is still able to reach us. By crossing through 50 trillion kilometers, it is able to cross to reach us. Can you imagine what must be the power and the intensity of the light that is emanating from Alpha Centauri? Likewise, we are able to see hundreds and thousands of such stars in our Milky Way galaxy. Its total diameter is estimated to be 100,000 light years. Whereas the center, the core, at the core, it is about 5,000 light years of distance. And at the edge of it, it is 500 light years. Our sun is near the edge, near the periphery of this Milky Way galaxy. Where our sun is posited in the Milky Way galaxy, the diameter or the width of that particular galaxy, our particular Milky Way galaxy, is about 1,000 light years. Can you imagine where the center of this particular Milky Way galaxy is all about? It spins. It is not stationary. The Milky Way galaxy is spinning at about 600 kilometers per second around a central axis. It is revolving. Apparently, it is estimated that our galaxy started around 4.6 billion years ago and it is floating in space. But it has revolved around itself 20 times, according to scientists. These are hypotheses. There is no scientific proof, but it has been studied and theorems have been evolved. Like our Milky Way galaxy, there are 100 to 200 billion galaxies in the universe. The nearest large galaxy, which is larger than our Milky Way galaxy, is Andromeda galaxy. This is 2.2 million light years away from Earth or our sun. Doesn't matter. It's only 9 crore miles from here to the sun. Either from the sun or from the Earth, the distance of 2.2 million light years away is so far that the small number doesn't really matter. Andromeda galaxy is extraordinarily larger than the Milky Way galaxy itself. Now, this itself is two of the very small galaxies in the universe. You can imagine what will be beyond the manifested universe. Think about the entire universe. Think about all of these galaxies functioning together. Beyond the manifested universe, expand your mind. Vast, tranquil, limitless, dark, self-compressive, highly permeable, surrounding pressure force, all-pervasive, supergravity, superconsciousness. This is the eternal space. Now, this eternal space has evolved into the observable universe. Now, as I am going to play this video, watch the relative sizes of various objects that we have discussed today. The moon, Earth satellite, is 3,500 kilometers in diameter. Mercury, the terrestrial planet, is 4,900 kilometers in diameter. Mars is 6,800. Venus is 12,000 kilometers in diameter. And our most beautiful planet in the known universe, Earth, is 13,000 kilometers in diameter. Kepler-22b, an exoplanet, is 30,000 kilometers. Neptune is 50,000. Uranus, the ice giant planet, is 51,000 kilometers. Saturn, the gas giant planet, is 120,000 kilometers in diameter. Jupiter, also a gas giant planet, is 140,000 kilometers. Our sun, which is in the center of our solar system, is 1.4 million kilometers. This is a dwarf star, small baby star. Another baby star, Sirius A, is 2.5 million kilometers. Elnath, a slightly giant star, is 5.8 million kilometers in diameter. These are all measured by scientists. Even bigger than that is Arcturus, 36 million kilometers in diameter. Aludra, a supergiant star, is 80 million kilometers, which is still not very big. Another big, huge, supergiant star, Antares, is 1.2 billion kilometers in diameter. Canis Majoris, hypergiant, 2 billion. Scuti, UY Scuti, a hypergiant star, is 2.4 billion kilometers. We are expanding even beyond that. We have crossed 120, 130, 140, 150, 60, 170, 180, 200, crossed 220. Now this is a supermassive black hole. S500 14+81, 250 billion kilometers. TUN-618, supermassive black hole and quasar, is 400 billion kilometers in diameter. The eye of God is now in no more can be measured in kilometers. Now it's in light years. Head Horse Nebula is 7 light years. Eagle Nebula is 9.5 light years. The Seek 2, the dwarf galaxy, very baby galaxy, is 210 light years. Tarantula Nebula is 1,000 light years in diameter. Sleeping Beauty Galaxy is 54,000 light years. We are still talking about dwarf galaxy. Our Milky Way galaxy, which is a baby galaxy, is 100,000 light years in diameter. We are still talking small. CI-1101 Hypergalaxy is 6 million light years in diameter. Let's expand even more. Now we are crossing in billions of light years. All of these galaxies that we have seen has gone, vanished. It's not even there. This is the almighty force. This is the superconscious state. We have no idea what the size is. Scientists estimate this to be in billions and billions of light years. The observable universe itself is only 150 billion light years, which from the size of what we have seen, from the size of what we have observed, from the size of the almighty force, is minuscule. It's too small, too tiny. Can you imagine our Milky Way galaxy is such a tiny dot that we cannot even observe it. Looking at it from the almighty force, almighty consciousness, almighty static state, the dark fluid state, which is all pervasive, penetrative, surrounding pressure force. But that force and consciousness, due to its self-compressive nature, are present in all objects. It is this consciousness that is present in all objects, whether they are inanimate or animate, in the form of pattern, precision, regularity, even on our planet Earth. It's everywhere. The shape, the length, the breadth, the depth, the composition of energy particles, hydrogen, helium, oxygen, water, and all other elements that you see have a specific pattern. This pattern is highly understandable, observable, repeatable. And it follows a precise cause and effect system. Oxygen is combustible. Hydrogen is a neutralizer. Helium is lighter, it'll float. These are things that are precisely functioning as per the specific gravity, which means there is a specific amount of magnetic fluid that gets expelled and come out of each of these formative dust particles, which form the electron, proton, neutron, and then therefore form that atom. So every atom contains within a specific amount of gravity that is overflowing. Now, gravity in the superconscious state is not finite, it is infinite. It is not a singular quantum. It is singular, but it is unmeasurable quantum. It is mighty. It is almighty. The mightiest of all mighty forces is the almighty force. But in the evolutionary dynamic state of an atom, molecule, elements, etc., there is a specific amount of gravity that begins to overflow as a divine fluid from these formative dust particles that form the atom or the element. And this functions as a magnetic transformation within the particle. And this is precision. This cannot be manipulated. This can be understood, but cannot be manipulated and changed. You can change a state. You can change an energy from one state to another, but the specific gravity cannot be changed. Specific gravity of water is, let us say, 1 or 0. So that's it. You cannot change that. You can change water to vapors. You can break down water vapors into hydrogen and oxygen. All that is possible. You can combine that with other things and make coffee, tea, etc. The specific gravity will change for coffee. Specific gravity will change for tea. Specific gravity will change for orange juice, or it will change for some other liquid form that you see. Because the composition of the formative dust particles and therefore the electrons, protons, neutrons inside these elements are beginning to change, and therefore the specific gravity change. Because the quantum of the magnetic fluid that emanates from within this formative dust that forms the elements are changing. But the changing or changed a specific element is not changing. That specific element in hydrogen is not changing. In oxygen is not changing. But between hydrogen and oxygen it is changed. It is increased or decreased. But this is precise. This precision is observable. And this is what science, when they science say, science is a study of facts. What are they studying? They are studying the precise functions of these electrons, proton, neutron, atom, molecule, and the amount of magnetism, the electricity that is present and that is getting transformed from within and outside of this formation, of these formative dust formation. That is all that scientists are able to precisely calculate. It is they are able to precisely calculate because there is precision. There is a precision of specific gravity inside the functioning magnetic transformation of that particle. But there is also regularity. Influence of energy waves between two transformed formative dust particles into energy waves. They combine together and they penetrate each other and they repel each other. They attract each other. This creates an equilibrium. As this equilibrium is created at the energy particle level, it forms various types of elements. As it creates various elements, they also repel each other and they create different kinds of composition of elements as asteroids, as meteors, as suns and the moons and the earth and nebula, the stars, the galaxies and so on and so forth. Various things that scientists have discovered today is merely a regularity of the pattern precession that begins to function. For instance, if you take our planetary system and the sun is at about 9 crore miles away from our Earth. But Earth is spinning around the sun once every 365 days, 365 and a quarter days. And the sun is about 19 lakh times larger than our planet Earth. Sun itself is spinning around itself for 1000 miles per hour. It is spinning around the sun at 75,000 miles per hour. Sun itself is 19 lakh times larger than our Earth. It is spinning around its own axis for once every 25 days. This cannot be refused. This cannot be changed. There is an equilibrium. There is a mutual repulsion and attraction between sun and Earth that is keeping it at an orbit. The orbit is not circular, but it is elliptical simply because there is moon, there is sun, there is Mars, there is Jupiter, there is Saturn, there is Venus, there is Mercury. All of these are repelling each other because of its mutual repulsion and attraction. These planets form an orbit around a larger star such as a sun, but the regularity is maintained. Today you can say that Mars is retrograde. This calculation could have been done thousands of years ago, because what happened thousands of years ago is repeating itself today. Jupiter was retrograde till November 24th. Saturn was retrograde till October 14th. These can be very clearly measured. Till 13th of January, Mars will be retrograde. After that, it turns direct, because it is not going anticlockwise. It is still turning only clockwise around the sun. But it appears to go clockwise or anticlockwise as seen from the Earth at certain angles of the duration or the orbitary position around the sun. Today in 2022, on December 22nd or 21st or so, it appears like Mars is going anticlockwise to Earth in relative motion. But this is a regularity that keeps repeating itself every 18 months or 22 months. Likewise, every year you will see Jupiter, Mercury, for instance, going retrograde 3 to 4 times. These are observable, repeatable, regular pattern precisely happening in the universe. Likewise, the food that we eat inside becomes digested in the stomach, gets into one portion of it, becomes juice, another portion becomes blood, another portion becomes tissues, another portion becomes fat, fat becomes bone, bone becomes marrow, marrow becomes the vital fluid in the cerebrospinal area. Now, these also follow a pattern precision regularity. You take food that goes inside, becomes juice. Juice, where does it go? It becomes glucose, goes into the cells. To open the cells, those cells' doors are closed always. They always keep it safe and closed. They don't keep it open because they know that all kinds of things are floating around in the blood and they don't want bad things to come into it. So to open the door, there is a lock. Lock is produced by the pancreas. It is called as insulin. So the insulin is a key, is going along with the blood. As the food carries itself certain glucose molecules, as it goes into the blood, along with it goes insulin, knocks the door of all the blood, all the cells in the body. And the cells will say, aha, I have got food. Let me open the door. Ah, thank you very much. Please bring, let the glucose come in. The glucose is burnt in the mitochondria. As the glucose is burnt in the mitochondria, there is an oxygen element that gets produced. Oxygen loses an electron. It becomes unstable. This is called as the oxidative stress. These are the free radicals. To satisfy these free radicals, plant-based food produces extra electrons. These electrons are then supplied to the blood. It goes into this mitochondria and says, no, hold on, don't start stealing electrons from the nearby atoms and nearby molecules and nearby cells, and don't destroy yourself. Let me supply the extra electron that you require. So the plant-based food supplies that. Automatically, it satisfies itself and the cell becomes normal once again, and the cell remains healthy. What a beautiful system. Self-regulatory, precisely functioning, self-patterned, self-diagnostic, self-healing system that nature has created, not only in our body, across the universe. This is the consciousness that is present even in inanimate objects. In animate objects also, in living beings also, in the universe also. From the stars to the living beings, to the energy particles, to all kinds of evolved states. Energy particles are nothing else but the origin, the origination of the magnetic waves. As the formative dust particles are expelled from the formative dust, the magnetic wave or magnetic fluid that expelled along with, overflowing along with the formative dust, creates a ripple effect. It starts to bombard, it starts to create, it starts to flow, but has to come out, begins to come out as a straight line. But it cannot go in a straight line, it cannot spread in a straight line, because the almighty force, the self-compressive force, is bending this wave. It is trying to create a wave-like structure. Bends, the amount of bending depends on the amount of the divine fluid that got expelled along with the formative dust. The intensity of the fluid that comes out determines the wavelength. This creates a ripple effect. It starts to create a ripple across the nearby formative dust particles and it spreads. Like how you clap and the sound is echoed across the environment around the area, or how you throw a stone on a lake and a ripple is created and a wave spread till the edge of the lake itself or to wherever it can go, until that expense, that a particular energy is transformed and expent. The moment it is spent out, moment it is expended, how will it get expended? Clash, reflection, refraction, penetration and interaction, due to which there is a panchatanmatras. The panchatanmatras, the so-called pressure, taste, smell, light, sound, two of them are electrical in nature. Light and sound and light and heat and sound. Light and heat cannot be separated. So light, heat and sound are electrical transformations, and taste and smell are chemical transformation. It is energy transformation that is taking place. As the energy is spent, this magnetic wave dissolves, the formative dust stops, and it becomes one with the divine force. As I am talking, I am actually producing a lot of these energy conversions that is taking place. As this is getting bombarded, as I start to create this ripple effect in my mouth, this ripple effect is spread throughout this area, and this ripple effect is compressed in the form of an electronic mechanism spread across the internet and coming and clashing as sound wave on your particular ears as you listen to this. And further transformation of your biomagnetic energy takes place there and you perceive it as sound. So what happens? Some of my magnetic conversion has become the divine force. Some of your biomagnetic energy has gotten converted into divine force. The divine force is all around us. It is all over the universe. It is beyond the universe, in a static state. In the manifested universe, this functions as a dynamic spreading magnetic wave, and it functions with the wave theory of clash, reflection, refraction, penetration and interaction. Stars likewise give out enormous amount of energy waves. The sun is giving out enormous amount of energy waves. One Krishmurli Ishwar speaking with his voice is creating a ripple effect which is creating this much of sound. Can you imagine the kind of ripple effect that the stars will be creating due to the formative dust particles that are constantly ejected, and the divine force is flowing out of those energy particles? How much of energy will be getting transformed? How much of waves, in intensity of waves that must be coming out of the stars itself? My voice carry with itself the quality of my voice, quality of my thoughts, quality of my intent. Likewise, the energy waves emanating from a star, such as our sun, carries itself the quality of the origin, quality of the sun itself, quality of the star itself. And these waves from the stars, they do not just keep quiet. They clash, they interact with millions of such waves emanating from thousands and millions and billions of stars and planets and planetary objects around the universe. They interact, they react according to specific gravity present within the elements of these formative dust particles, available within the elements of these stars and these asteroids and these planets and the star and the satellites, etc., etc. All kinds of celestial bodies, so-called the stars to planets to moons to etc., have within itself certain specific gravity, which is a magnetic transformation. The divine fluid emanating from that carry with itself a particular quality and quantity, which functions with a pattern, precision and regularity. As they interact, the Moon is sending out waves, Venus is sending out waves, Mercury is sending out waves, Sun is sending out waves, Jupiter is sending out, Mars is sending out, and Saturn is sending out. All these waves interact according to the magnetic pattern of us, the living beings. Krishmurli Ishwar is a magnetic body. Every one of you is a magnetic body. The Moon, the Sun and the stars and the planets, all of them are magnetic bodies. We are sending out magnetic waves. They are sending to us magnetic waves. Their magnetic waves are much more intense and powerful because their whole mass and the amount of energy within that, the specific gravity that is flowing out of these energy particles are so huge. Sun has got so much of light in it. And light is nothing else but a magnetic transformed wave that is coming and hitting our eyes. Likewise, all of these green waves from Mercury, white waves from Venus, white waves from Moon, red rays from Mars, golden rays from Jupiter, and blue-grayish rays from Saturn. All of these are coming and hitting us. And they interact and react with our magnetic body, our causal body. Sun controls our bones. Mercury controls our skin. Venus has an impact on our sexual vital fluid. Moon controls our blood circulation. Mars, our bone marrow. Jupiter, brain cells. Saturn, nervous system. Rahu, Ketu, which are nothing else but a magnetic path emanating from the center of the sun on either side. One side is north, another side is south, you can say, or one side is the head, another side you can say is the tail, whichever way, northern node, southern node, all kinds of names are given for these kind of two magnetic paths. And this magnetic path is one side called Rahu, another side called Ketu, controls our biomagnetism and the mind. Now imagine why twins are different. You will understand this. The interaction of these different magnetic systems coming together at the time of fertilization. When twins are fertilized inside the mother womb, it is fertilized at different times. One may be fertilized in the morning, other one may be fertilized in the evening. It may even take place over a period of three days, 72 hours it may take for two different eggs to be formed, to be fertilized inside the mother's womb. Okay, ideally it should happen within a few hours. But then, we do not know exactly what time it is happening and at what intensity of magnetic collisions that are there in the environment, inside the mother's womb, inside the mother's body, inside the mother's mind, inside the mother's magnetism at the time of fertilization. So it varies. The blood circulation that goes into the fertilized eggs inside the mother's womb over the period of 9 months or 10 lunar months of incubation in the mother's womb is also changing, which creates a further combination or further composition of magnetic circulation. Planetary positions at the time of birth will also change. Every 4 minutes, lagna changes. Every second also, you can see position changing of the planets in the planetary system, in the solar system. As these planetary movements are so difficult to calculate, at the second-to-second level, minute-to-minute level, it is impossible for somebody to predict exactly what will be the result of the exact time of birth of an individual in the entire lifespan of the individual. As the planetary positions change, one child may become a good scholar, get married happily and go abroad and settle. Another child may not even get educated, may not get a good job, may not even get married, will be staying with the parents forever and become a liability for the parents. Two children born to the same mother, pretty much around the same time, with only some 5 minutes difference between the two or 10 minutes difference between the two, have so much of difference because of this magnetic interaction and reaction of millions and billions of waves that come together to create this kind of a reaction and an action and a result, cause and an effect kind of a system. Example that you can also observe through empirical means over thousands of years that we have seen is when Rahu and Ketu and Sun and Moon and Earth come together. It is important that Rahu and Ketu come together, the so-called the dark magnetic paths that emanating from the center of the earth as the formative dust particles become dissolved and become black holes. When they become the divine force, they become black hole, and they can no more stay within the sun. They come out as either side of the sun as two dark magnetic paths, traveling to the end of the universe to become one with the almighty force beyond this universe. One side is called Rahu, another one side is called Ketu. When these two magnetic lines align with that of moon, earth and sun, eclipse takes place. During this time, digestion is weak. It is recommended by the self-realized souls through observation and empirical analysis over millions of years of or thousands of years of observation or hundreds of generations of observation in the society, that avoid physical relationship during these eclipses. Children born to parents of such nature conceived during this eclipse time may become mentally or physically disabled. Therefore, avoid copulation during that time. Spend time in meditation and silence. Remain in divine thoughts. Fast. Don't try to eat or to eat too much. Don't say, okay, it is eclipse time, let us go outside, celebrate. Don't do that. Sit inside your home. If you necessary, eat some fruits before the eclipse and after the eclipse. During the eclipse, do not eat. Spend time in meditation. Spend time thinking about the divine force. Spend time thinking about the universe. It is a magnificent, beautiful, magnetic reaction that is taking place. You have a conducive environment as a magnetic environment in and around you for you to become a self-realized soul during this time. All of these observations came only because our saints, our gurus, have realized that the entire universe is an Atma, a magnetic state. It is a Parama Atma. It is a universal magnetic state. We are a fraction of that totality. In this fractional state, we are a biomagnetic state. Here we are a Jiva Atma. When this fraction demands, the totality is ready to supply, and it is constantly supplying for us and taking care of us. Please understand and observe and realize within yourself that this entire universe is governed by the Almighty Force. I have presented to you this wonderful, beautiful philosophy of cosmology by our Guru Yogiraj Sri Vedatri Maharishi, propounded in the form of a model of Vedatri model of universe. With our Guru's blessings and the blessings of the Divine Force, may you and your family live in good health, long life, enough wealth, peace, prosperity, fame and wisdom. Be blessed by the divine. Vaazhga Valamudan.